Ejiruho,
which is to say discipline or education.
You know, the word begin in the beginning, believe it or not, is home education in a Greek home. And that home education covered at home from the woodshed all the way to the dining room table, everywhere else. It's discipline. That's what the word is. Thus, disciple, pupil. And believe it or not, we're all pupils of God's Word from day one. As long as we're in the flesh, we just can't quite get to that point where we know everything. Though you will occasionally find some that think they have, all right? But they only kid themselves. Now, a father or parent, I will say, in a home, is the home educator. That's where education starts, is with the parents. And the parents educate the child to be able to sustain themselves in this world, hopefully how to be a better citizen at the same time, how to be successful. That's one of the important things a parent should teach a child, is how to be successful and how to overcome. It's so easy. It's so easy when you have the blueprint right before you, which is to say the Word of God. Then they teach them the moral codes, and also he that loves his child does not spare the rod. You never correct a child when you're angry, because God certainly doesn't correct you when he's angry. You always explain to the child exactly why you are taking the action that you are. Otherwise, how does the child learn? Now, at the same time, your Heavenly Father, who is head of all families, or is head of your family, teaches you discipline in spiritual matters, as well as when the parents begin to teach spiritual. Really, it's a spiritual. It's a feed-off from the Father. Thus, you get a well-balanced home education. That's what the word I stated in the Greek means, home education. It doesn't necessarily mean books alone. It's based on Father's holy word, and it is to bring forth a rounded overall education. And quite frankly, you never reach an age that you're still not a child of God. Paul probably said it best when he said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child." And this has nothing to do with age. We've got a lot of people that are my age that are nothing but a bunch of children. Probably biblically illiterate. And all they know is the sun comes up in the morning and goes down at night. They have no idea what our Father has instructed as far as how to be successful is concerned. How to overcome. When it's so simple with His blessings. He makes it happen if you make it happen. You can pray and say, "God, do it for me," all you want to. He's not going to. He's declared He's not going to. You've got to get out and get it yourself, and then He begins to pour the blessings on. Many of you have heard me say many times, He'll furnish the bricks as long as you do the building. But you've got it to do. He doesn't like lazy people. He doesn't like people that are not disciplined in His Word. Why? He can't use them. Why? They don't know anything about it. How can you use somebody in a profession if they're ignorant concerning it? Thus, we have the subject, discipline, which is to say, education. And that will be the title of this lecture, Discipline, Education. Open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to go to some, basics, really basics, from our Father. And it would seem that sometimes we all need to go back to the basics, and it's good for us. This word, pehidoro, will be mentioned a time or two within this. And I'll call attention to it as we come through. Open your Bibles to St. John chapter 15. And boy, talk about basics. This is really basic. But concentrating on the subject of discipline and focus,
I'm sure it will improve your life if you've drifted away from it a little bit. It's real easy to do. Our Father, while you're turning there, I want to make a statement. Our Father never disciplines someone for a negative reason. Our Father always disciplines His people for a positive reason, for a good reason. That is to say, if He loves you, He will discipline you, and He expects you to be better because of it or for it. Never that He intends to hurt you or crush you where you're worse off than you were to begin with. That's not the way your Father operates, nor should it ever be the way an earthly father operates. But with God, you can count on it. He never chastises you or disciplines you without expecting you to be a better, far better off person for it. So, just kiss the paddle and say, "Thank you, Father. I enjoyed that. Now, let's get with it." And you get with it. And you'll find that His love then always immediately follows discipline. Because He does love you. Okay, having said that, chapter 15, the book of St. John, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the vine, and Almighty God is the one that takes care of that vine. He feeds it, so to speak, nurtures it. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth, He prunes it, clips it up a little bit, that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, if you know how to bring forth a little fruit, He touches you to where you're become even better equipped to produce fruit. And of course, the Word of the God is the seed that you always plant to bring forth fruit. I never forget that. But, beloved, listen. A branch, that doesn't produce fruit, He cuts it off. That's pretty serious. Now, that's not saying you're going to hell. That simply means that He's not going to help you produce anything. You're out. Until you graft yourself back into the vine. Now, that's something you want to meditate on right real good. It's always good to take inventory in your life. And you may not be aware of all the fruit that you produce because you never know where a seed is going to go or simply a smile at someone. Telling them they have a good day. You know, that can save certain people's lives. You never know what they're meditating or thinking of doing when you see a down person and say, "Hey, have a real good day. It's a good day in the Lord." It can change people. You know, that's fruit. Down to some little seemingly insignificant thing. But you being a part of the vine lets Christ shine upon them through you. That's fruit. Now, when you just quit and you begin to look at the things of this world and never even think about the Word of God, hey, your life's going to hell in a basket. It's going to happen to you. You're going to have trouble in your family. Things are not going to go well for you. Why? God cut you off. Why? Because you weren't producing fruit. You weren't disciplined. Don't worry, He'll get around to discipline you. Okay? Verse 3. Now, ye are clean through the Word. Listen to this carefully. Ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. That means the teachings of Jesus Christ, which involves both the Old and the New Testament. That's what cleanses you. How long has it been since you've had a bath? Think about it. You know, if you haven't been into the Word for a long, long time, you stink to God. You haven't had a bath since no telling when. And you're not producing fruit. He doesn't want you around Him. I'll read that one more time. Ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Take a shower every day, my friend. Verse 4, abide in me. Do you know this word abide is mansion? It's meno. It's the word used in the 14th chapter of St. John that Moni says, hey, I go to prepare a mansion for you. You don't have to wait. You can move in today. It's there for you. When you abide in him, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and except it abide in the vine, no more can ye accept, ye abide in me. Now, did it say you should abide in the internet? You really want an education? Plug in, friend. I got news for you. In the web, there's a few spiders. There's nothing like the Word of God. We are given tools, but use common sense in using them. Never destroy a tool, and never throw the baby out with the bath. But do be intelligent. All right. If it differs with this word, it doesn't amount to a flip, and it will cause you harm. Let me say that again. If it differs with this word, it's going to cause you harm in one, sooner or later. If nothing else, it's a distraction. He says, plug into me. Well, what does he mean? Well, he's the living word. Are you plugged in or not? There is no other, there is nothing else that will nurture you and assist you in producing fruit. Well, me and my buddy are starting something over here, and we're going to do it by ourselves. Well, so long, sucker. You're going to fall flat on your face. You can't do it without him. You leave him out as the sinner, you're sunk. Sorry. He's going to prune you. Sorry. You're going to be down among the twigs that just dry up and blow away if you don't stay in the Word. With understanding. That's discipline. Real discipline. Backed up by tough love. When you hear those old pruning scissors coming through the patch, snip, 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 that's the time to say, oh, Lord, I hope I'm doing well. Help me to do better. I'm out here digging. I'm going. Cranked up. All right? You must have him in you, and you must be in him, or I'm sorry, there's no fruit. And I don't have to tell you again what happens to one where there's no fruit. 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Zippo. Nada. So get it out of your head. If you're going to build something all on your own without going to him first, I would advise you to forget it. Verse 6, if a man abide, that's that mansion, if you'll mansion, if a man abide, mansion not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into a fire and they are burned. Let me tell you something. Anytime your life feels like it's withering, you need to get close, my friend. You need to get plugged in real good to the Word, the branch, the vine, rather. And you better get a new intake of nutrients. It all comes from right here, and it's so simple. It's His plan. It's the instructions on how to make these flesh bodies operate properly and to discipline themselves whereby they produce that fruit. And then you're in good standing and you're clean and you're ready to serve Him. Okay? That's not to say that you're going to be perfect. That's why we get to take a shower every once in a while. All right? We're not perfect. Cleaning ourselves with the Word, you understand what I'm saying. Verse 7. If you abide in me, there's that mention again, and my words abide in you. Now he's kind of getting down to the brass tacks. Do his words abide in you? You familiar with them? You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, what's the subject here? Producing fruit. Not getting you a Cadillac, friend. Not getting you some other material thing. The subject is producing fruit. Fruit for who? Well, the fruit is like the tree. What was the tree? It was the vine. That was Christ. Naturally, it's fruit for Him. He will give you what you need to produce that fruit. You're looking at a ministry right here that is a prime example for that. Little old church in Northwest Arkansas now booms all the way around the world. A couple of three times. And over 225 television stations from Canada all the way through to Puerto Rico in various places. Shortwave covering the rest. Why? You do the work, He'll give you the bricks. Right? Producing fruit. That's the subject. His Word. Are you plugged into it? That's very important. If you're not, He won't abide in you. He can't stand it if you're not in the Word. He can't dwell in you if you're not in the Word. He doesn't want any part of you. What book does that come from? This one. Not some man's writings, this one. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. Don't you understand that? That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. There's that word, discipline. You can be my disciplined student if you will abide and if you will bring the Father just a little bit of glory. Well, how does He glory? When He's happy. Cause the Shekinah glory to just shine forth when you please Him. Because you see, that's why He created you, was to give Him pleasure. And if you've just been thinking about yourself and not Him, that doesn't pleasure Him. As a matter of fact, He feels left out of your life. In fact, He is. And I feel sorry for you if that be the case. Because, snip, snip, here come the pruners. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Love is such a strong force. It truly is when you care. Sometimes a little, when we're talking on the subject of discipline and chastisement, tough love comes into bearing. Tough love is harder on the one that administers it than the one that receives it. Really does, really is. It hurts your Father more to correct you than it does for you to receive the correction. Always bear that in mind, and it's always for a positive purpose. 10. If you keep my commandments, boy, did you hear that? So basic, but yet so powerful. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. That's the way it works, friend. Well, what does He mean, keep my commandments? His Word. You're not going to be perfect in it, but try. God doesn't enjoy lazy people. You've got to make an effort. Even if, I don't care if you're handicapped and can't move, mentally make an effort. 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. He likes to be happy. My joy can't stay with you, if not. So that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How are you running, friend? You running on full or empty? I don't know. It's up to you. Basically, everybody makes their own choice. His love should overflow in you when you know what He has done for you. Giving you simple advice such as this to discipline yourself, whereby you have God's love not only in you, beloved, but in those you love, your family. That they see it, they feel it, they want it. You know, people are real strange. I don't like to use the word lust, but I will. But if they see somebody that's really having a good time, they will lust after that feeling. Meaning, they want to be happy too. And if it's a spiritual thing, well then that's one case where Again, I dislike using the word lust, but I will, because you can lust after many things. A lot of people lust after automobiles or money or whatever the case may be. But people seek out those that are joyed and happy in the flesh life and are doing real well. They can't help admiring somebody that is doing real well. Well, if it's with God's blessing, that's fine. If it's with selling drugs that you're doing real well, then you'd better run, because he won't last long. All right. Okay. Discipline yourself. Focus. It is so easy in this generation to become unfocused, and you're not even aware of it if you don't get back to the basics occasionally. You can think you're doing a fine thing, but what does it do for God, and does it produce fruit? Well, I just enjoy it. Well, it's fine for you to enjoy something, but how, in for a allotted period of time, but how much time did you give God? Well, I forgot to look. Snip, snip, snip. Right? I mean, I don't keep score, and you don't. He does. So you're the one that wants to listen for that sound as the husbandman comes through the vineyard. Snip, snip, snip. It's up to you. Does that mean he's going to send you to hell? That's not what he's talking about. Ultimately, it could arrive at that. He's talking about whether you want to be happy and amount to something, or if you want to be a nobody now and nobody forever. Who likes nobodies? Well, God loves them. I don't know too many others that do. Really, when you really get right down to it. So don't stay that way. Be somebody. Be a child of God. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Did we get that one? 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ did that. He laid his life down for you. Why? He thinks you're worth it. Are you? I mean, he died for you because he thinks you're worth it. I'm glad he's the one that does the picking. You know, I really am. The thing is, he wants you to document and prove to him that he didn't mess up on you. That his blood wasn't shed for naught, because he doesn't want the Father to come right along behind him and snip you off. So, love him in return and ask him to touch you in your life, and you be in him, and stop being a nobody. Be somebody. That's simply to say, a child of God. I'm glad that all of you are. Okay? He calls you, did he say, well, let's let him say it. He says it much better than I do, and these verses are why we came here. 14. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Those little ifs will get you, won't they? You are my friend if you do what I command. If you don't, you're not my friend. Snip, snip. All right? It's that simple. Again, are you producing fruit? Snip, snip. Here he comes. I don't know. He lays it out here in a language that we can all understand real well. So you have been warned, okay? He warned us. But he prefers to call you not servant, not slave, not a nobody, but a friend. And to be a friend to Messiah, the Son of God, you're traveling in pretty good company. You know somebody that's got power and influence if you do that. I don't know, do you ever call on him? He said, if you need something, let me know, I'll give it to you. If you want to produce some fruit, if you want something else, the harder you work, the luckier you'll get. The more of it you'll have. But if you want something to produce fruit, I'll give it to you. See, he paid for it on the cross. And he has the right to give you whatever you need to produce fruit. But everything else, you set it up. The harder you work, the luckier you'll be. because there are no free rides in this world. Face it. You know, anything that's given to you isn't half as good to you, or you feel good. You don't feel half as good about unless it's something you earned yourself. You know the sweat that went into it. Then you got something, and it's important to you. I'm just reporting nature here. That's just the way it is. 15, henceforth I call you not servants. That's Jesus talking. If you're on my vine, plugged in, a good branch, and well, good standing, producing fruit, he said, I'm not going to call you a servant. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. He says, I'm giving you credit to know what, that you know what I'm doing. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Friend, that's discipline. That's education. You know, that just goes right over a lot of people's heads. It says, I've called you friends for all things. How many of them? All things have I heard, that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. It's there if you'll dig it out. It's there if you will work at it. All of it. That's why studying His Word and staying plugged into the vine is such a blessing. But probably one of the most dangerous things in the world is to drift from the vine. To be so hungry is wonderful, but there is a danger even in being over hungry, is pretty soon you start grabbing other things to fill yourself. And if you're not careful, if it isn't His Word, you're going to get trash. Or you're going to get trashed, one or the other. Snip, snip. All right? Focus on His Word. Nothing any man has to say, this man or any other man, that does not come from this Word, which plugs you into the vine, you take for gospel. You don't do it. You question, research, think. Okay, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You think about that. That ye should go and bring fruit forth. What was the purpose of this? That I could go and I could check out all the books on nonsense from the public library and really be some well-read. Well-read, yes. Or that I could, you know, do whatever I... No. That you would produce fruit. That's the name of the game. And that your fruit would remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I mean, he's not going to fail you. He won't. Again, as I said, you're a part of this ministry. You know it. You don't have to put a begging bag on or anything else to be successful. All you have to do is teach His Word and produce fruit. He'll take care of the rest of it. You don't have to worry about it, even in your personal life. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. In other words, if you think you're going to win a bunch of popularity contests, forget it. Not in the world. Not from the people of the world. They're going to talk about you just like they talked about Christ. They're going to abuse you if you're not smart enough to kick the devil and take names. All over the place. But what you do is you give no slack, no place. Don't any of you ever let me hear you saying please to the devil. You know, the word please, maybe I'm supposed to touch on this. The word please, as I just utilized it, is to beg. Okay, that's what you're doing. Oh God, please, you're begging. And that's fine if it's from the Father. That's done. That Greek word is used many times in God's Word, both in the Septuagint and in the New Testament. But don't you ever beg or say please to the devil, because he's already got you. If you please leave me alone, that's not the tone of, you're not disciplined if you would say that. If that's the tone of voice you would use to the devil, he would laugh at you. You don't say please to the devil. You say, in the name of Jesus, get. Not please. You take names and kick dragon, all right? With authority, with power. Do you know what that word is in the Greek? Dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. Does that sound like please to you? Do you think, can you see Jesus? I mean, we're supposed to follow him. And here's the setting. We're in the temple. And he's got a cat of nine tails. Please, gentlemen, remove yourselves from the tables, please. Watch it. Oh, now, I didn't mean to push you. Easy. Is that what he did? I don't think so. I don't think he said, please get out. Don't ever say please to the devil. Take charge. Use authority. Okay, let's go all the way to the last verse in this chapter, all right? In case you haven't guessed it by now, this is a doctrinal lecture. It's not a prophetic lecture. It's doctrinal. It's doctrine right to the base core, and it is basic on how that you please your Father, how why He lives in you and you live in Him. Final verse, that'd be verse 27. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, words of the wise is sufficient. If you absorb that, you know why he would say, ye are not of this world, because you weren't chosen in this world. You would understand the key of David. You would understand the offspring of the 12 patriarchs. And you would have been chosen as one of God's elect from the very beginning, meaning the beginning. Okay, let's go to Timothy. Paul's letter to one of his teachers, shaping him up, getting him ready for battle. Timothy, 2 Timothy, and chapter 2. The information Paul is giving him is what he should do in the world to be successful. Good advice for you today. Verse 2, and he talks to him as a son, because he was a spiritual son. I said spiritual. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Did he say, Timothy, you get out in that gym and you start working out and you be strong? Now, we can all do that, and that's healthy. It's the best medicine you can have, is to get out there and, you know, fall down and do about 50. You know, and your suits don't shrink as bad, and so forth. You just hang in there, hang tough. But that's not what he said. He said, you be strong in Jesus Christ. How do you get strong in him? Right here. By eating the seed, that's to say the Word of God, letting it sprout in your mind, that big reservoir of space. Well, maybe I shouldn't use the word space. A lot of people do get spaced out, but in other words, you always have room to learn more. That's what I'm trying to say, and I want to say it in a real nice way, you know, and it just springs to life, and you become strong in the Word. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, I mean, I didn't just hide this. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You go down there on the corner and you find that old boy, it's no good, and you commit it to him. That's not what it said. It didn't say, go commit it to a nobody. It said, commit it to a faithful man. That means, or woman, that means somebody that's interested in learning something. Otherwise, don't waste your time. Somebody that has a hunger. So many people will go, nobody listened to me. And they go down there where there's a bunch of turkeys that don't even know how to gobble and want to teach them something. You teach faithful men and women that want to learn. Don't cast your pearls before turkeys or swine. Okay? Now, if they change, hey, they can change any day. They can walk across that line and praise God, they're a friend. But they've got to do the walking. Okay? They got to want to. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Every soldier in combat is going to get shot at, just about. I said in combat. Well, you're in combat spiritually, friend. So you better get set for it. That's why you wear the gospel armor. What he's saying here is you take your licks and I don't want to hear a whimper. All right? None of this poor me baby stuff. All right? Verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, you don't get so involved with things of the world that you don't have time for God, because he chose you as if you have ears to hear and eyes to see. He chose you as a soldier against Satan. And he expects a little something out of you. At least to look like you're alive. Okay? Verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, now we're getting in the workout field here. If he wants to be an athlete, okay, who strives to really be the best, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? Now convert that. Convert that from an athlete in training to someone spiritually wanting to do God's work and move ahead. Always do it lawfully. It's got to be. You can't break laws and please God. Mainly His law. 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Do you know what God's telling you there? You know, you're going to get a hard time. And it's going to be rough sledding, but I promise you, you'll be the first that'll partake of the fruit and you'll get a double offering. All right, you got that? That's God's promise to you. It may be tough sledding, but you're going to taste your own work. You're the one that's going to wear the crown. 7. Consider what I say. I hold up right there. I just love this word. This means you stop. You open your little old mind up and you let me pour this all the way down to the bottom of it and you think. You meditate. You reason and absorb. That's what he's saying here. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Can you do that? When you're studying God's Word, don't you be troubled up in the things of the world. You open your mind up to the Word to document and prove. And His promise is, I'll give you the first fruits, I'll give you understanding. You always, before you prepare, even as a teacher, you go in, you do your homework. Hey, He's not going to do it for you. I said, God is not going to do your homework for you. But even man, after he's done his homework, he's got to lean back and say, Father, I know I'm a little slow. I don't get it. I don't quite understand what it is you want me to present here. And when, after you do the homework, you'll get the first fruits. You'll be the first that'll hear it. Even before you deliver it. What he's saying is, if you'll concentrate, if you'll meditate, and that means consider. Do you know what meditate actually came from? You know what its etymology is? You can see it on any farm here in this country. Have you ever seen an old cow laying out in the sun and she's sitting down chewing her cud, and all of a sudden, she swallows that sucker. It's gone. No, it's not. It went back down into her other tummy and it's absorbing nutrients and maybe a little graphic to some of you city folks, but that's the way it's done. And then she chews that sucker some more. Well, that's the way you do truth. You absorb that truth in your mind and then you chew on it. You swallow it down and then you chew on it some more. Until you have that understanding, don't give up too easy. This isn't really what I plan to teach. I didn't intend to tell you about some of our local livestock here in the area and all that thing, but it's just coming out. Just bear with me, all right? Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. In other words, how could you go wrong? It was because of this that Christ was raised from the dead. What? The truth. That's how important it is to your life. And it's to know the key to David. That's to say the lineage, your heritage. 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bonds. Well, that means I'm here in prison. I'm in jail. That's what Paul's saying. But the Word of God is not bound. I mean, the Word of God, you can't put it in jail. And I'm going to tell you something. When you hear somebody preaching God's Word, and you let it put you in jail in your own life or in bondage, you're listening to a liar. I'll say that for you one more time. Anytime someone is preaching to you from this Word, and it puts you in bondage, you're listening to a liar. Example, someone that would say, you're a divorcee. I'm sorry, don't go near the little children. You've repented, totally repented. You get off over in that corner. What they're telling you is Christ can't forgive you. And Christ does forgive. If I didn't think He had the power to clean your slate and give you a fresh start, that truth sets you free. It doesn't put you in chains. It doesn't make a second-class citizen out of you. That's the beauty of Christianity, is you're somebody. You're a child of God in good standing. So don't you ever let someone put you in bondage with the Word, or they're ignorant as to what the true meaning of it is. Okay, verse 10, therefore, or on this account, or on account of, I endure all things for the elect's sake, the chosen ones, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What a wonderful reward, what a crown, so that you can do that. We're not playing just for some 6 month payout here, friend. We're playing this forever, for the eternity. It is a faithful saying. In other words, you can count on this. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Sometimes the flesh must do a little of that. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. That means, have you ever read Luke 12, along about verse 10, where he says, those that deny the Holy Spirit when you're delivered up before the false Christ, I will deny you also. It's unforgivable. Think about it. You want to get snipped quick. Just know better and still do it. I'm talking about not allow the Holy Spirit to witness through you. I quoted Luke 12, verse 10. You can cover it later. He'll deny you, you bet, forever. 13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. In other words, this bunch I was speaking of a while ago over here, they may be unbelievers, but Christ will always be faithful if they call. Don't ever forget that. And but by the grace of God, you'd be right over there in the middle of that bunch of turkeys. Okay? They're your brothers and sisters. Think about it. 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, it's not important that all the knowledge you have gained over years be dumped on one of the turkeys all at one time. They're not going to understand what you're talking about. It isn't important how much you know. It's the words you can say to convert them. All right? You're not all that important in a conversion. The conversion comes from the power of God. And just the right amount of salt and pepper and the right bait. Just put it out there, and I mean reel them in. Reel them in. All right? study 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Always rightly divide that word. That is to say, to you say, who is this written to? Well, this letter here, Paul wrote to Timothy. Well, how much do you get from that? Timothy was a student. So it's written to a student. Well, what was he to do with it? Produce fruit? And so on and so forth, okay? So when you rightly divide the word, who is he? Who, when, what, and where? That's one reason I recommend the Companion Bibles. You have the outline by an excellent scholar already done for you. Then you know who the these and thems and theys and so forth are to the non-Greek or Hebrew reader or Aramaic. It might be a little difficult for you, but it's all done for you. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. But nobody needs nonsense, all right? It doesn't prove or it doesn't document anything. It's not good for anything. Talk for an hour and say what? Nothing. 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker. That's gangrene in the Greek. You know what gangrene is? It cuts your leg off if you get that. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. These boys said, there ain't no resurrection from the dead. When you're dead, you're dead, boy. Okay? This is it. This is all you're going to get. 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is already past. Has passed already. And overthrow the faith of some. Do you know that teaching premillennium will get you the same thing, rapture? Do you know that it'll mess people up the same way? Why? Because when the spurious Messiah appears, they're going to worship him thinking it's Jesus come to rapture them, because that's what he's going to be peddling. Want a one-way ticket? He won't tell you it's to hell. But he'll have the best chariots you've ever seen, all coated and ready to go. And those that are biblically illiterate will jump on because they don't know any better, and it was told them from day one. 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from babblings, nonsense. Stuff that isn't plugged into the Word of God. It's not going to do you any good. And it can cause you to lose your focus. 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. Whose house are we talking about? Education begins at home. It's your home. But it's God's house. It's his family. All right? He says, I've got vessels of honor and vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. Some of them to dishonor. What this really means in the Greek, you've heard me use it before. I've got some that are flower vases and I've got some that are pots sitting under the bed. That was before you had indoor plumbing, for those of you that might not be familiar with it. Which are you? All right? That's what he's saying. He's going to tell you how to choose. Verse 21. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these what? These persons, these churches. He shall be a vessel unto honor. That's to say persons back in the 16th verse, the babblers. Bunch of nonsense. Talk forever and say nothing. I mean, maybe read one verse out of here and then say, isn't this holy? Something very religious. But himself, from these persons he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Are you prepared for a good work? Are you familiar enough with the word? If God came up to you and said, hey son, come here, I want you to do this for me, go over and do chapter 2 of the great book of Nebuchadnezzar, second chapter, verse 21. And a real bright lad will say, but Father, there is no book of Nebuchadnezzar. And he would say, my good son, you come on in here. You're well disciplined in my word. Because you're right, son, there is no second Nebuchadnezzar, only the first. You know I'm teasing, okay? All right, we're on a roll. 22. Flee also youthful lust. That's mean wayward impulses, okay? That means be mature. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, those that really want to search, don't be afraid to give them a little time if it fits what the ministry God is giving you. All right, to plant seeds or whatever. If they have a pure heart, then share knowledge. You know, bring them right on along. As I stated, this is written to Paul from Timothy, and he's a teacher, training and training. 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, that they'll cause quarrels. All right? Stuff that get to the important stuff and let nonsense kind of fall off by the side or find a very diplomatic, kind way to sidestep it and get back to the meat. In training, you know how to do that. 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. In other words, you can't be quarrelsome, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. That is to say that practice endurance and never force yourself off on somebody. If you make them uncomfortable, write them off. Get away from them. Back off. You don't need it. God's telling you something. Don't force seed planting on anybody. It does no good whatsoever. Waste of time. 25. In meekness, instructing. Underline that word, instructing. It's the Greek word I taught you coming out the gate. Home, education. God's home. He takes care of the spiritual. You take care of everything else, from the woodshed to the dining room. Instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And He gives them that opportunity. They're not lost forever. And we don't do the judging. We don't do the picking. If one of those turkeys wants to come out of the flock, welcome. Become a sheep. All right? And once they become a sheep, don't start shearing them. All right? God will let them defleece themselves. All right? 26. Don't rip them off. I'll put it plainer. 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Don't ever say please to him. Always practice authority once it's given to you. Well, how do I get it? By becoming knowledgeable in the Word of God to know when and where to use the power. Otherwise, you'll think you're holding up a power line here that might be labeled 220, but your knowledge inhibits it to be 5 watts. Okay? Just no power there hardly at all. Well, you gain experience, and He increases knowledge. Well, never say please to the devil. Take authority. Be disciplined. Stay focused, or I'm going to tell you something. You know, there is one thing about spreading manure on a field. If you spread manure, you're going to get a little of it on yourself. Anyway, the wind's going to... You know, you know what a manure spreader is? You put it behind a tractor and you kick it in the air and and dust goes up. And some of it's going to blow on you. All right? It's not going to kill you or anything like that. But if you mess around with manure, you're going to get some on you. Stay focused on the Word of God. Discipline yourself. That's what discipline is. That's how you become a disciple of God. Doesn't hurt to listen to this man or any other man, but check them out in the Word of God. Make them stand by that Word. And when they leave and depart that Word, you depart their company. Or at least question them. Discipline. Home education. Boy, it's a powerful thing. And in our nation, I'm afraid that we have so many one-parent families and so forth that it works a burden on a single parent. And God give you strength and power and have mercy. And He will. That you will prevail. That means you have to do both sides. Do it. You can. He'll give you the backing. But you that have a family, protect it. Care for it. Practice that discipline. And remember, if you want God's blessings, don't pray to Him unless you're doing the things we were talking about today in this lecture. Won't do any good. If you're not trying your best, this old thing, believe and it'll happen. I think they call it prosperity preaching. Bunch of malarkey, you know. There's no free rides, not in God's camp or anyone else. When you deserve it, He'll pay up. You don't have to worry about that. But you've got to cut it. Then you're worth it to Him. But He doesn't need a bunch of yo-yos that are too busy praying with hearing with no doing. All right? How can He use them? He can't. They're no good. Sorry. I mean, truth is truth, right? That's just exactly the way it is. So God loves a hearer and a doer. That means discipline yourself. That's what being a student is. And trust me, I wish I could say someday we will all be great prophets or great people that will know everything. We won't in these flesh bodies, all right? We're students. So always study to learn. When you're a teacher even, you study to learn for yourself, not just to teach. Because you don't know everything. And every time you learn something, those you're going to teach will learn also something new. Over and over, many times we do books. Do you think I draw attention to the new, at least to me? It may not have been to somebody else. I don't draw attention to that. I just keep plowing. And I love it. God's Word is so powerful. It is so full. And it is so satisfying. You know, a lot of people, it's like you would have a prime rib steak. For the vegetarian, you would have the biggest soybean pie that a man could dream of. Yummy. You know. And all of a sudden, you see a skunk steak over here. Why would you want to reach over and get a skunk steak? Ugh. You know. Well, stick to the real thing and leave that stuff alone. All right? And you'll be a lot better off. Father, we thank You for the Word. Father, help us to be obedient and disciplined, Father, in Thy Word. Father, we yearn for that knowledge and wisdom. But, Father, Your basics themselves are so deep and so true. We ask Your blessings in Jesus, Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The sons of Eli and Samuel, the last two judges of Israel, sinned against the Lord greatly. The people of Israel witnessed the corruption of the priests and judges and rejected God as their ruler. The people wanted a man to be king and to reign over them instead of God. First and Second Samuel record.